Amen. The people of God say amen. Amen. You say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you happy today? Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. There are those who are connected with us on the phone. And then there are those who are with us in the sanctuary. And so I want to encourage those of you who are here with us today that when we come together, one of the things that we do is we do make some noise together. Amen. Amen. One of the things you talk about missing when you're not able to gather together is the noise and the encouragement that we receive one from the other. What happens is a good fire is started and it spreads, it ignites among the people. And so I encourage you just to lift up your voice, even though we're still hiding behind masks. It's okay. We can still give thanks unto him and worship his holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Today we are returning to the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 16 today, so if you would turn there in your Bibles, John chapter 16, and our reading for today is going to come from verses 7 through 15. Verses 7 through 15. And what we want to focus on is the help that we need. Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, who is the helper, and he is the help that we need. Amen. John chapter 16, beginning with verse number 7. Again, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, but you follow along in your particular Bible, your particular version. Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." You said again, he is the help we need. All right, say it after me then. He is the help we need. Okay, you can make it personal. He is the help I need. Amen, amen. Father, we come before your throne and we simply ask that God, you will, Father, anoint my tongue with grace and with truth. Just as Pastor Savage prayed, Father, let the words that I speak come from your heart as you communicate to us to strengthen us and to encourage us. We thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship that has gone forth, for it has prepared us, God, to receive your message of truth. So give us ears that hear, eyes that see, a heart that is ready to receive, that God, you may change us and transform us and equip us, Father, for the work that you've called us to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, where we are reading, this is prior to Jesus going to the cross, being arrested, going to the cross, and being crucified. It is Jesus preparing his followers, his disciples, for his departure. He has called them, he has allowed them to be with him for approximately 3 years, and now he is ready to move into the next phase of the ministry. His purpose was to come that he might give his life as a ransom for many. He is now approaching that hour, for he says, "The hour is upon me that I shall go and give my life." So now he is approaching that moment where he will give himself to pay for the sins of all of mankind. But as you and I know, that does not become the end of the story. It is more like the beginning of the next phase. For God sent his Son into the world to save the world. That of all the efforts that had been tried, all the things that had been used prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, they all fell short because they were not God's perfect plan. God had purpose in his heart long before that he would send at the appointed time a Savior who can redeem all of mankind. And Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, was that one who would come and who would give his life to fulfill the plan of God. So he is now at that moment where he is about to finish his work on earth, but the work of drawing men and women to himself is about to begin in the lives of the disciples. And what he is saying is, listen, I want you to know that just because I'm leaving, I'm not going to leave you alone. That even though I'm going to be absent and you're not going to see me physically and I'm not going to be with you every day like I've been with you for the last 3 years, I need you to know that you're going to have a help that comes and that will enable you to pull off and to do what I've trained you to do. Up until this point, you have been a group of men who have vacillated back and forth, who have wavered between following me and following your own minds. But I tell you that after I finish this last phase, I am going to go back to the Father, and I'm going to send one who will enable you to be just like me. Because the one I send you is going to be just like me. And he's going to live in you, and he's going to help you fulfill God's purposes. So Jesus gives them this dynamic truth to remind them, to let them know that in their hour of grief, that he is not going to leave them alone. And brothers and sisters, I tell you that John, the follower and disciple of Jesus Christ, has captured these words of Jesus so that they can encourage our hearts as well. Well, he wants you and me to know that even though we are in this world and we cannot see him physically, we cannot touch him physically, he wants you and me to know that we are not alone. He wants us to know that when we come and we give our lives to him, that he gives us a helper that will help us make it all the way to the end. Aren't you glad that Jesus promises that whatever he begins, that he will also finish? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be dependent upon your own strength, upon your own wisdom, upon your own resources in order to fulfill God's purposes for your life? Aren't you glad that he said that if he gives you a purpose, if he gives you a command, he's going to equip you with the strength and the resources in order to fulfill that command? And that's what this particular scripture for you and me today speaks to. Talks about how Jesus sends his Spirit so that you and I are equipped to fulfill his purposes for our lives. Psalm 139, if you haven't read it recently, I want to encourage you to take a few moments sometime this week and read Psalm 139, because Psalm 139 reminds you and me that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, that God had purpose in us when he made us. I want you to read that because you need to know that your life has value, that you are important, that when God made you, he didn't make no junk, that when God made you, he didn't make a mistake. That it does not matter the conditions by which you may have been conceived or born. It does not matter how you've been raised up. What you need to know is that God has purpose for your life. And so when he allowed you to come forth, he allowed you to come forth with purpose. So I want you to go back and read Psalm 139 to be reminded that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that because I made you with purpose, I'm also going to equip you with what you need to fulfill that purpose. He gave you talents. And then when he sends his spirit to you, he also gives you gifts. And so he says he equips you to fulfill his purposes. This scripture for us today is important because you and I can't do life without the help of his spirit. Amen. We see people living and doing things all the time. But when I talk about doing life, what I mean is we can't do life. We can't do what we do, be happy and satisfied without his Holy Spirit. We can't do what we do and be effective without his Holy Spirit. You and I need the Spirit of God living inside of us, helping us to do what he wants to do, because he will instruct us and then he'll give us peace. He'll let us know what part belongs to us, and he'll let us know what part belongs to him. And if you and I will stay in our lanes, he can always take care of his business. And what you happen is if you just stay in your lane, you won't become so worn out. You won't become discouraged. You won't despair of doing his will. You'll be able to do what he has equipped you to do and then allow him to do the rest. We need his spirit in order to fulfill his purposes in our lives. He is the help that we need. He's the help that we need. And if you try to run on anything else, what you're going to find is that you fall woefully short. And it becomes extremely frustrating day in and day out trying to operate using the wrong helper. These days, there has been a lot of talk about electric cars. Talking about changing over from the combustible engines that you and I have become so accustomed to move into electric cars. But we're not fully there yet. We're still, most of us are driving combustible vehicles that use what, either gas or diesel or something of that nature. Natural gas, they have different sources, but that's what they use now. It's interesting that you and I understand that in order for that vehicle to function the way it was designed to function, you have to put the right petroleum resource into that vehicle. That if you put the wrong fuel source into that vehicle, that even though it was designed, created, made for a certain function, when you put the wrong fuel source into it, what you end up doing is causing a problem. Most of us, even though water costs considerably less than gasoline, I don't see very many folks taking their water hoses just because it's liquid and going and putting it into the gas tank, into the fuel tank, and turning that water hose on until it fills up. The reason we don't do that is we understand that if we do that, that vehicle is not going to get us from point A to point B. It may start and run for a minute from the residue that's left from the gas, but as soon as that rolls through the system and that water starts to come through, you're going to be over on the side of the road. Now, if we can understand how a man-made vehicle like that uses a particular fuel in order to carry out its functions, I think you and I ought to be able to understand that those who have been created in the image of God, who have been called for his purposes, need his fuel to be able to operate day in and day out. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, he says, I've called you, I've trained you, you spend time with me, but in order for you to do what I've called you to do, in order for you to function in the manner that I want you to function, that you need the right fuel, you need the right helper to be able to see you through. And he is the Holy Spirit. In this text, as we are reading today, Jesus has been telling his disciples that he is getting ready to leave. He has warned them that they're going to experience grief. He has warned them that when he starts to go through what he's going through, that the world is going to rejoice while their hearts become sad. He has warned them that he is leaving. And so they are at this place of, what are we going to do without you? Furthermore, they're at a place of now they're confused because, wait a minute, they came to follow Jesus because their idea of a Messiah was one who was going to set them free from the Roman liberation and put them back on top of the world. And so they are thinking that he is coming as a political savior. They are thinking that he is coming as a political ruler, that he is coming to take over. But now he's talking about he's going to leave them. We haven't accomplished our purpose yet, and you're going to leave? Jesus said, no, it is better for you that I go away. It is to your advantage that I leave. It's going to be to your benefit that we do this thing the way God said do it, as opposed to what your idea of it is. Because his idea was that he would come and save and redeem mankind, and then that he would empower them to live lives that reflect his glory and that represent him. Yes, he was coming as a king. Yes, he was coming as a ruler. But no, it would not be in the way that they expected. Yes, he was coming to turn the world upside down. But he was not going to do it in the small way that they thought about it. He was coming to do it in such a way that his kingdom will never end. That his rule will reign. Not just in your heart, not just in my heart, but throughout all humanity for ages to come. And he said, in order for that to happen, we've got to complete both stages. I've got to go to the cross and die so that I can pay for the sins of the world. And then I've got to send back to you a helper who can help you fulfill the call that is on your life. Let's stay with the text for just a moment, because I want you to see what Jesus has communicated to his people. He said, it's to my advantage, or to your advantage, that I go away, because if I do not go away, I cannot send the helper, or the helper cannot come to you. Jesus is now dealing with this aspect. We talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One God represented in three persons with three distinct functions. God the Father as the creator, but the Son, as you know, was there because all things were made through him. And so was the Spirit, because he hovered over the darkness. He hovered over the water. And when God spoke the word, remember John 1, in the beginning was the word. When God spoke the word, the Spirit went to work. So all three of them were there accomplishing what needed to be done in creation with their three distinct functions, but one God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But then we learned that all three were present and active. Jesus now talks about we are still carrying out this work, because Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And when he, the Spirit, comes, he's going to do what I say do, because we work in concert together to accomplish the will of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And he says, listen, when my work is finished here, that's when the Spirit is going to come, because he will fill you. But he cannot come until I finish my part. So when I finish my part, after I have paid for the sins of all of mankind, then I will go back. And when I go back, I'm going to send him back to the earth, back to fill those who belong to me. But I've got to finish my part first so that he can come. And then he says when he comes, he's going to have a couple of functions that Jesus speaks about in this particular text. First, he says he is going to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and justice, or judgment. Note, he says the Spirit will be the one who convicts, and note who the Spirit is convicting is the world. That's the world system. That's the people of the world. He says that the Spirit is going to come back and bring about conviction in the hearts of men and women. He's going to bring about revelation in systems. He's going to bring about truth in the world system. So that's what he's going to do in the world. But then he also talks about what the Spirit of truth will do in the life of the believer. Now, it's important. I want you to understand that there is a distinction between what he does to them and what he does for you. Oh, you didn't get that, did you? See, he's working on them. He's working in you. He's bringing about pain for them. He's bringing relief to you. He's bringing about for them, for the world, for those who operate in the world system, he's bringing about a conviction upon them that helps them to see their sin, and it's all with the idea that they will turn to him. He's helping them to understand about righteousness, that it doesn't matter how much you do in the name of goodness, that if you don't accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that your righteousness before God is like filthy rags. That there is no amount of work that you can do to be in right relationship with God. The only way that you enter into right relationship with God is through the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So he says that the Spirit is going to bring about this conviction regarding righteousness and sin, and also judgment. And he says judgment because he has gone back to the Father. Judgment because he has already defeated the enemy. Now, while this is being done for the world, it's good news for you and me. Because if Jesus has already defeated the enemy, the Spirit is going to be reminding you that the victory is already won. What that means is that whatever comes your way, that whatever presses up against you, that whatever causes you stress, whatever causes you pain, what you need to know is the victory is already won. And when you know that the victory is already won, what that means is that you can go all the way to the end of the fourth quarter, because you know that right now I might be behind. Right now I might be lagging, but I know before the final buzzer goes off that I'm going to be on top, because I've got the victory. That's good news for you and me, because it says that when we are going through, that we don't need to lose heart. I may not be experiencing my victory at this moment, but I know that if I just hang in there, that I will win. I know that if I don't throw in the towel, that if I don't quit, that if I don't give up, that the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave is going to give me victory over this particular situation. So he reminds us that we need to stay the course and trust in him. And then he says, When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I got to tell you, I get excited and happy about this because I don't know about you. There is so much unvalidated information that is presented before us these days that I need one who is going to guide me with truth. There is so much unvetted information that is available through so many sources that I need one who knows and is able to distinguish truth from lie. I need him to be able to help me see what's truth and what's lie. I need him to be able to show me and guide me, because if I rely upon my own wisdom, if I rely upon the wisdom of others who have different motives, I'll be all twisted up and confused. And so you and I get this great promise that in a world of confusion, the Spirit of truth comes, and his desire is to lead you and guide you, not in just some truth, but in all truth. That means that there is no area of your life that he is willing to neglect, but he wants to come and guide you in truth in every area of your life regarding what he wants to do with you and what he wants to do in the world. There is nothing that is off limits to the Spirit of God. For he knows all things, and if he could just get you and me to trust him, if he could just get you and me to rely upon him, if he can just get you and me to be still when we are confused and wait for him, we'll stop going around in circles. We'll be able to hear what the voice of the Spirit of God is saying, and then be able to move in the right direction. And it doesn't matter if anybody else is going with us, because we have heard from him. And if we have heard from him, then I know I'm moving along the right way. And what he says is that when the Spirit of truth comes, he is going to guide you into all truth. Again, he's talking about the consistency of the Father, consistency of the Son, with that of the Spirit. Why? Because the Father loved you. How do you know? Because God so loved the world. So he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son. How do you know what love is? Because Jesus gave his life and he modeled what love is. He gave himself for you and me. The Father is love. And because he is love, that means that he wants to take care of and love on that which belongs to him. That means that he will do that which is best for that which belongs to him, because it is a characteristic of love. The Father loved, Jesus loved, and then he commanded his disciples. He says, listen, you got to be just like me. So that means that I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another the same way that I have loved you. You are to care for, serve, and take care of one another, that you are to put the needs of others above your own, that you are to love in the same way. And so he says, when the Spirit of truth comes to lead us and guide us in all things, what he is talking about is his desire for you and me to fulfill God's will in our lives. It is his expression of love to you and me, that he won't ever lead you wrong, that he won't ever lead you astray, that he won't ever take advantage of you, that what he's going to do is he's going to take care of you. And because he is a good God, because he is gracious and faithful, that you, and even though he's all powerful, you don't have to worry about him abusing you or misusing you. You can trust him. He says that he is going to guide you in all truth. All truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you. This is relationship language. This is talking about you being in a dynamic relationship with God that allows you to hear him as he speaks to you through his Spirit. It means that you have trained your ears to hear him and to recognize his voice, because you have spent time with him. talks about this idea of this not being some distant relationship, but it's a personal relationship whereby now he is your personal God, your personal Savior, who becomes the helper who will direct you through the course of life. Jesus reminds his disciples that he called them. And in the same way, God calls you and me. He calls us out of darkness into the light, into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, and into a relationship with him. He reminds us that it was God who pursued you and me, not you and me who pursued God. And when he pursued us for our benefit, but for his glory. He came to redeem us from an empty way of life, and he came to ensure that we would indeed live forever with him. It was for our benefit that he saved us, that he died. And so when the Spirit comes to lead you and me into truth, he's coming to help us do what he designed us to do, and that is to bring glory and honor to the Father. All truth. One of the first truths that he talks about is this truth that Jesus really is the Son of God, and he is the only Savior of the world. That's a truth you and I need not ever let go of, need not ever be ashamed of promoting. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to tell others that there is only one way, and his name is Jesus. We need to be willing to tell other folks that, listen, you are sinful, but listen, I've got good news. There is a remedy for your sin. Listen, I need to tell you that the only remedy is Jesus Christ. Jesus is his name. And what he does is he takes that which was dirty and he washes it clean by his blood. He takes your old ragged clothes, your clothes that have been filthy and stained, and he gives you a new wardrobe and he dresses you in his righteousness. You need to be able to tell folks that there is a God who loves you enough to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. We need to be bold enough to declare truth to people. We need to tell folks, you can't change yourself. After all of this time, you need to realize that every self-help program that you've been on, whereby you tried to empower yourself, has come up short. But listen, I've got a plan for you that will revolutionize your life, that will change you, and that will transform you. And all you got to do is be obedient and stay the course. Because what he does is he works from the inside out, making you into a new creation, so that you then have a new way of thinking. You then have a new way of seeing. You then have a new power by which you operate from. And then you are able to use your tongue to build others up. You're able to use your resources to bless lives and not curse them. Because all of a sudden, you've been changed, you've been transformed, you've been ignited with the source of life who gives you help. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, I'm going to read it here, but you jot it down because it speaks to truth. Timothy, as he was writing, or Paul, as he was writing to Timothy, said to him, I urge you, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people. Paul was telling Timothy to pray for all people. For kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Verses 3 and 4 is what I really want you to see. For he says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The Spirit of truth comes so that all people can be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. He said, now this has been witnessed at the proper time. That's the truth. That's the truth. John, at the beginning of this gospel, said, the law came through Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. See, you and I need to be able to work our way through all the minutia, the false philosophies, all of the self-serving antics that people bring, and we need to be able to recognize truth. You and I need to know that God loves us, and the evidence of that again is that he gave his son to die for us, that he redeemed us, that he saved us, and that he did not leave us alone because he gave his spirit to live in us. That he did not come and save us and then say, now do the rest on your own. No, he came and saved us and said, now with my spirit living in you, allow me to redirect your life and give it purpose. Allow me to enlist you in my service so that you now can begin to do what you were created to do, to bring life to others. He says that he desires to guide us in truth. You go back and you read Psalm 23, that beautiful psalm that talks about a wonderful shepherd. What does he do? He guides us in paths of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, it's good news for you and me that we don't have to operate in our own strength and power, but we have one who will give us enlightenment. He will open our eyes. He will help us to understand the things that he desires us to do. That's a promise. On last week, we talked about a lifetime guarantee. And Jesus said that if you will abide in him and allow his words to abide in you, that what he promises to do is he promises to make your life fruitful. Not just for a moment, not just for a season, but until he calls you home, it is his promise that you will produce fruit. You cannot produce fruit. You cannot have a fruitful life if you are not allowing the Spirit of God to lead you, guide you, and direct you. You need the Spirit revealing truth so that you and I can walk in trueness and have fruit in our lives. Now, here's the important thing. Jesus has made the promise. This is what he's going to do. How do I make sure that I receive of that promise? Well, the first thing is very simple. We've said it because Jesus is talking to his followers. The first thing you have to do is become a committed follower of Jesus Christ. You can't have the Spirit of God if you're not a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I know this is not popular, because people think that they can just claim him for a moment and then go do what they want to do. No, no, no. In order for you to see the kingdom of God, in order for you to experience the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. And then he says that there must be evidence, there must be fruit in keeping with the fact that you've been born again. He said, when you go to an orange tree, what do you expect to get? Oranges. When you go to an apple tree, what do you expect to get? Apples. When you go to a grapevine, what do you expect to get? Grapes. If you're getting something else, you're saying something wrong with that tree. And when you have a born again, or a person who claims to be born again, but there is not fruit in their lives that is consistent with being born again, I think we got something on the tree is rotten. Something ain't right. He says that your life, when you are born again, it is going to produce fruit in keeping with your new nature and who you are. That's the promise. So, and the reason I say this is because you have to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? First, I acknowledge that he is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that God raised him from the dead. I acknowledge that, and that without him, I could not pay the debt of my sin. I'm a sinful person, and without the finished work of Jesus Christ, there is no way I could ever pay the debt of my sin. So I accept his payment for my debt. That's the first thing I've got to do. And then after I've accepted his payment for my debt, I've got to say, now I'm dead to my old way of life. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to following the flesh. And because I've been born again, I have a new direction and a new path, and I'm willing to forsake everything else to follow him. I'm willing to lay everything else aside to follow him. There is no pet sin that I'm willing to carry with me as I follow him. Nothing worse than seeing believers dragging along sin trying to follow Jesus. And because you're not able to move at the rate and at the pace that he wants you to move, what's happening is, because he ain't slowing down, what's happening is he continues to get farther and farther away because you got a pet sin that you have locked to you that's slowing you down. And all you got to do is cut it off, because he has given you the power to cut it off so that you can keep up with the one who is taking you in a new direction. You have to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ that says that if there is anything that the Spirit of God reveals to you that is hindering your walk with him, that you're willing to let it go. That you will make him first, preeminent, priority. And that you will make it your goal to keep up with him as he's leading you. And the realization that when you've got baggage on, you can't run with him. You got to let the baggage go. And so you become a committed follower of Jesus Christ, watching him, following his ways, adopting his ways into your life, learning to be an expression of who he is. Then you reserve time to listen to him. You reserve time to listen to him. God speaks to us in a couple of ways. First of all, he has given us his word, the living, active word that he has protected by his Spirit. Listen, if you don't have a regular routine of reading his word and getting down and sitting and reading and enjoying his word, I want to challenge you and encourage you to do so immediately. Don't wait another moment. Start treating it like you do your favorite show. You know how we do our favorite shows. We move heaven and earth to get to our favorite shows. And if there is just something there that we can't get to it, there are so many devices right now that we find a way that we get to it, and we set aside time so that we can enjoy that. Make God's word like your favorite show. Start treating it like you do that so that you can spend time eating from his word. Remember, the Holy Spirit takes what comes from Jesus and he makes it known to you. Jesus has already disclosed to you and me that he is the Word. And we know that from Genesis to Revelations, the book is all about Jesus. And so when you and I take time, reserve time to read his word, to study his word, what we are doing is we are giving the Holy Spirit something to reveal and teach us with, to guide us with. So make time to read his word. And let me suggest that you be comprehensive in your reading. Don't just get stuck in your little favorite passage of scripture that you go read. Go beyond all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purposes. Go beyond that. Read and allow the entire Bible to inform you in the Spirit of God to give you understanding. Make time to do it. Make it a priority to do it. And out of that, the Spirit then begins to speak. But you've got to make time to quiet your soul. You've got to make time to quiet your environment. You've got to make time to quiet yourselves so that you can hear what he has to say. He may not speak to you with an audible voice, but he brings about an impression upon your heart that without doubt you know that it is him speaking. He will bring thoughts to your mind that you know that wasn't you thinking, because you're not that deep. But he will do that if you make time to allow him to speak to you and lead you and guide you in all truth. Then the Spirit of God, he also uses those that he has placed us in family and community with. He uses us, one another, to speak to each other. That's why you've got to make sure that you're taking time to feed, because you don't want to share with anyone an untruth, falsehood, lie, or just your opinion. Can I just tell us, you already know this, but our opinions are not going to save anybody. What you and I need to be able to do is share what thus said the Lord, what the Word of God says, to give understanding and truth according to what he has revealed. So that means that when you are in dialogue, in an exchange with one another, he talks about greeting one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He says that you and I have been given, and he uses us as tools to speak into one another's lives. That's why you should let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is useful for building up the one who hears you. Because you don't want your words to become such that you just let anything come out of your mouth. You want it to be that when you speak, people actually listen, because they feel like, wait a minute, that person is speaking the word of God. And what happens is when you speak the word of God, it is the Spirit of God that brings about both conviction and confirmation in the hearer that affirms the word that has been spoken. You don't have to go through the effort of trying to convince someone. All you got to do is say what the Spirit told you to say, and he'll do the rest. Amen. Brothers and sisters, he, the Spirit of truth, is all the help that you and I need to navigate this life. But what he said is that you need to understand the tools that he uses, the word of God. And when I talk about quiet yourself, prayer and meditation, and then one another. Listen, if you're not in a good, solid relationship with someone who holds you accountable, with whom you share, today is the day that you need to find that person that you can begin on a regular basis connecting with, talking through the Word of God with, and praying together. Why? Because he never said for you and me to walk alone. Yes, he speaks to each one of us, but he's never said walk alone. That's why he places the lonely in families. That's why he connects us together, so because two are stronger than one. And because there are some times when we need correction. And he allows us to speak correction into one another's lives when we love each other the way we supposed to love each other, when we speak the truth in love, when we operate from the same Spirit who lives in us. Then he says, as iron sharpens iron, so can we sharpen one another. And all of that is done by the Spirit of truth, the one who reveals lies, the one who makes clear the path that you are, that we are to go, and the one who helps us discern between deception and recognize God's purpose and plans for our lives. He is the help that we need. Allow him to come in and fill you up and give you all that you need. Amen. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you that you are the great lover of our souls, and that there is nothing that you have withheld from us. We thank you for allowing us to see truth, the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way that our sins can be forgiven, the truth that he is the one who heals and restores. Thank you, Father, for your love for us and for your provision to us. We thank you that Jesus came into this world to bear witness to the truth, that he is a king, and not just a king, but the King of Kings. And that everyone who is on the side of truth hears his voice. We thank you that he speaks to us, that he leads us, that he guides us and directs us. And what we ask is this: if there's anything that is creating a logjam in our hearts, if there's anything that's creating a blockage in our ears that is preventing us from receiving your truth, we give you permission to move it, to get it out of the way, so that we can experience the fullness of your spirit and of your presence. We invite you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. Do what only you can do. As you open our eyes to see truth, illuminate our hearts, and give us the strength to walk in it, so that we might be like Jesus Christ. In his name, we pray, amen.